Back in the mid-1970s, before our youngest brother, Jonathan, was born, my older brother, Wes, and my younger brother, David, and I, who all had similar physical characteristics, we had similar hair color, similar features of our face and stature and so forth, would sometimes tease our, at that time, our youngest brother, Mark, who had darker hair, who had dark brown eyes, unlike the rest of us. And those physical traits, along with Mark's very unique personality and interests, that which were often very divergent from the rest of us, would be a target for us any time that we boys would get annoyed at our brother Mark. And as kids can oftentimes be cruel, we'd say to Mark in those moments of annoyance, "You know, Mark, you're adopted." And of course, Mark never really bought it. And it's something that we'll recall and jest even today as we might have family gatherings. And thankfully, Mark, as a brother, was gracious with our teasing and never really held it against us. But while our teasing, Mark was really intended to say to him, "You're not really one of us. You don't look like us. You don't act like us. And therefore, you must have been adopted." But that really flew in the face of the whole notion and spirit of adoption. For even if Mark had been adopted, he would have been just as much a part of our family as those other children that our parents had conceived and brought into the world. That's the whole point of adoption, to be brought into a family and received as one of its own. And those families that I know that have adopted children and sometimes a mix of adopted children and children conceived by birth by their parents, there is an utter lack of distinction between the adopted children and the ones born of the parents. So much so that in some cases, the adopted children take on the mannerisms and sometimes even physical characteristics of the natural family. It is indeed by the spirit of adoption that those who otherwise would have been given up by their birth parents, by those who perhaps had been orphaned, are able to be incorporated into a family, to be received and accepted and nurtured and loved and protected as one of their own. It is the spirit of adoption. And this is what St. Paul is bringing us today in this morning's epistle lesson from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. St. Paul writes, he says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors." And I want to remind you, by the way, that St. Paul is writing to the early Roman church, or early Roman church that was both Jews who had come into the faith, as well as new Gentile converts. He says, "We are debtors not to the flesh and to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Now, of course, St. Paul is talking about in living according to the flesh. He's talking about living according to the corruption of the flesh, according to the flesh's passions and desires, which lead us down a road of sin and separation from God, and therefore spiritual death. But he says in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Now, what is Paul talking about? The spirit of bondage to fear. He's talking about the old covenant of Israel living under the laws of God. For Israel, who had been called into covenant relationship, they were a people who understood and knew God not in an intimate way, but God through the external constraints of laws, where there was punishment for violation of those laws, and sometimes very serious punishment. So Israel's relationship was really one of a spirit of bondage, in the same way that a slave fears the reprisals of a harsh master and servant over him. But St. Paul says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, St. Paul is giving us the reality of something very radical that has happened in Jesus Christ. And God bringing about the fullness of his covenant, the law, which was the law of God, the old covenant, which became incarnate, which became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Christ who came to save and to redeem humanity. And it is through him, by our adoption into Christ, in baptism and incorporation into the church through chrismation, by which we receive the spirit of adoption. We were outside the family. We were orphans. But through Christ, we have been adopted. We have received that spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba. A better way of saying that, the Semitic term Abba is daddy. It's not just the paternalistic title, but it's a term of endearment. It's a term of intimacy. It's being in it, and it's enabling us to no longer see God as the divine person who's waiting for us to mess up, who's waiting for us to break his laws and commandments. But through a spirit of adoption, we have entered a relationship of intimacy such that we may say to God, Daddy, Daddy. The spirit of adoption is something that we see all through the New Testament, in particular, the Pauline epistles. And throughout this, we began to understand something about the spirit of adoption. One of the things that we begin to understand is that salvation through the spirit of adoption presumes adoption into a family of covenant. So much of evangelical and fundamentalist Protestant Christianity sees salvation from a very individualistic place. I know, because I was there at one time, where if we simply have faith, if we personally accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then God basically does a legal transaction whereby he lays our sins upon Christ, who suffers the penalty for our sins, and it is the righteousness of Christ that is laid to our account. And through this legal transaction, we have been forgiven. We have received eternal life and salvation and forgiveness of sins. But that's not the biblical understanding of salvation, as the church has always taught, and in accordance with this spirit of adoption. For we have been adopted into a family for growth, for nurture, for healing. In the same way, when a family adopts a young baby or a young child, that baby, yes, becomes immediately a part of the family, but that child continues to grow and to nurture in that family through that spirit of adoption. And in taking this same metaphor, we are to understand that salvation through this adoption into family is one of growth. Of growth. Such that we can never proclaim, I am saved. But rather, by the grace of God, I am being saved. I'm growing in Christ. I'm growing in the family of God. Let me give you just a couple of Paul's from his Paul's epistles of this of a fuller understanding or a fuller exposition of this whole idea of the spirit of adoption. In Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, St. Paul writes, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." There we have it again. Abba, Father, Daddy. In the fullness of time, in the fullness of salvation history, that is, in the incarnation, in the coming of Jesus Christ, in the fulfillment of his work and ministry, God has brought about this spirit of adoption whereby we are incorporated into all that God had intended for the people of Israel. Throughout the course of that covenantal history of Israel, we see the covenant of God being manifest primarily in two divisions and later three divisions within the people of Israel. First was the priestly division. God had called Israel to be priests to the nations, that is, to mediate his grace, not to be a set-apart people in an exclusive way, but a set-apart people in an inclusive way, a way by which God was wooing and drawing all people, all nations to himself, all of broken humanity to himself. So Israel was first and foremost to be priests. And their call, their vocational call, of course, was made visible and manifest in the liturgical, the sacerdotal life of Israel and in their priestly lines, the priests and the Levites who served in the temple. But we also see Israel and the covenant of God manifest in the royal line, in the line of kings, the kings who would bear and manifest God's will for the people of Israel in ruling over them, in bearing the covenant of God within this royal, within this ministry of royalty. But of course, we know that Israel continued to mess up. They continued to fall away from their calling. And so God began to manifest his covenant through the prophets. But it was in the fullness of time, in the coming of Jesus Christ, that we see these manifestations of Israel coming together, merging together. Today is the feast of Saint Anne, also known as Anna in the Orthodox faith. And the Orthodox often refer to them as righteous Joachim and Anna. These were the parents of the Blessed Theotokos, the mother, Saint Anne, the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But what's interesting is that Saint Anne and Joachim represent the coming together of these lines of covenant. Saint Anne or Saint Anna was descended from the royal line, from the line of David, the royal line, and Saint Joachim from the priestly line. And so we see these lines coming together in the miraculous conception of this barren woman who prayed for a child, she and Joachim, for many years. And at 80 years of age and 70 years of age, Joachim being 80, Anna being 70, she conceived the Blessed Virgin Mary, the church calling her the beginning of our salvation. And there we would see the seeds of the spirit of adoption, of God bringing together the fullness of all that He had foretold in Israel. And of course, Jesus Christ being the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great high priest, the great prophet who would make manifest all these things. St. Paul in Ephesians in chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth. In Him, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to His counsel, to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In Him also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purposed possession to the praise of His glory." You see, St. Paul, in this spirit of adoption, is talking about not only what has happened in the fullness of time and the coming together of the covenantal grace of God that was made manifest in Israel, but he's talking about the response of those who hear the gospel, who through repentance, who through faith of heart, through being sealed with the Holy Spirit, that is, being incorporated into the church through baptism and chrismation, have received that gift of promise, the gift of covenant, to be called sons of God, to be the people of God, to be God's own heritage. But this presupposes, as I said, a family of faith. We do not come to Christ as individuals or in an individualistic way. We come rather into a whole family, into a covenant of faith, such that we are not working out our salvation alone, but through a whole family of believers. Through the spirit of adoption, we don't have to make it up. We don't have to make up our prayers, our liturgy. We don't have to make up our theology. It's been given to us as a gift. And being incorporated into the church, for those of us who have converted to the faith, we have some appreciation, I hope, for our understanding of this great gift by the spirit of adoption being brought into this family of faith with its theology, with its rich heritage, with its rich traditions, its liturgies, its prayers, all signifying our identity. For through the spirit of adoption, we have received a new identity. We are now the Christ ones, the Christians, the sons, the children of God in Christ, through the spirit of adoption. in the prologue of John that we read every Sunday. In John chapter 1, it says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For those of us who have believed, for those of us who have received this great gift of the Spirit of adoption, we are now called children of God. Much of my family is not here today because, as many of you know, we celebrated the wedding of our oldest son, David, this past Friday in Ocean City, Maryland. And it was a wonderful wedding. I didn't officiate with it. They decided to have a beach wedding, and I couldn't have. But nonetheless, we obviously, of course, were there to support David and Shawnee as they were united in holy matrimony on the beach. And it was a beautiful, beautiful evening. And we went to a local American Legion there for the reception. And as traditional, there was a dance. Pam, the mother of the groom, with her son. And that was, I know, a very special moment for mother and son. And then the reception went on. And I was somewhat taken aback that Shawnee, this beautiful bride, did not have her father there. Her mother having died a number of years ago. Her father, who has suffered from various emotional and mental disorders, has been estranged from his own daughter over the years, quite tragically. And my heart really went out to Shawnee as I watched her up on the dance floor, not ever having had the gift of a father being able to give her away or a father being able to dance with her. And so I asked my son David, I said, David, would Shawnee appreciate I know that I'm not her birth father, but would Shawnee appreciate a dance with her father-in-law? And so he asked her, and I could see her eyes just lighten up, and I went over, and we picked a song, and I got out to the floor to do a father-daughter dance. And I said to Shawnee, I said, Shawnee, I know I can't replace your own father, but I would like to give this gift to you. And she says, but you don't understand. She says, you are my father already. You've been my father. And it was a wonderful gift to me and to my family, knowing that not only had we obtained, not only had we received another daughter into the family, another child by marriage, but that through the Spirit of adoption, through the Spirit of love and unconditional grace, I was being received as a father of this bride. One, this beautiful woman who could call me Abba, Daddy, Father. You see, this is a wonderful picture of the Spirit of adoption. That even in the brokenness of our life, even in the midst of the tragedies that surround us, even in the midst of the bitterness of our own spiritual brokenness, of our own spiritual orphan status, God has called us into the family by a Spirit of adoption. And it is by the Spirit of adoption that we have been incorporated into the family of God's redeemed. By the Spirit of adoption, we have become recipients and inheritors of the promises of God. By the Spirit of adoption, we have intimacy with God, whom we may call Daddy, Abba. In the Spirit of adoption, we have been brought into a life of spiritual nurture and healing and growth and salvation. By the Spirit of adoption, we now have access to the grace necessary to become truly human. By the Spirit of adoption, we have a new life and a whole new identity as fellow heirs with Christ. by the spirit of adoption, we are joined to the mysteries of God in a life of love, peace, and divine fellowship and communion with God. By the spirit of adoption, we are given the heart of mercy and charity for those in the world who are still orphans, who are still outside of the family, those who are lost and hurting and seeking and searching for that same sense of belonging and intimacy, but all in the wrong places. May we, who have received the spirit of adoption, be bearers of the great gift of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to live our lives in holiness and righteousness as did St. Anne and St. Joachim, that others may also be drawn to the faith, that others may indeed know and apprehend the eternal rewards of becoming children of God. Children of God, by the spirit of adoption. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.